Welcome to Torah Talk, a program that challenges 2,000 years of misunderstanding and neglect of the Torah, God's law. In this show, we will be threshing ideologies by examining these scriptures in their Hebraic contexts. Our goal is to separate the wheat from the chaff, the truth from misconception. This program is sponsored by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado.
Shalom, lovers of the Torah, and thank you for choosing to listen to Torah Talk. We have a great podcast for you. We're going to pick up our midrash from last week on the Messiah, the law, and the kingdom of God. We had a lot of things that we talked about. It was so exciting, and we're going to pick that right up today. Keep in mind that this is a midrash and is not to be construed as a doctrinal statement or theological treatise on the subject. We are simply wrestling with the passages to better inform you as well as ourselves, and we reserve the right to change our minds and our ideas as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Messiah. Well, great. Before we get started, in the studio with me today, Pastor Russ, our co-host, and Torah teacher BJ. How are you both doing, guys? And what do you think about this ongoing topic?
Super excited about this. I know I loved last week's show, and I'm super excited to continue on with this concept that of what it is that he truly means by the kingdom of God, not just have this be, this has been such a learning lesson for me, and I love that. I'm really excited. I have no problem with the humility saying, I did not understand the kingdom of God, and so I'm really excited, and it's been a blessing to be able to be a part of it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm just raring to go and excited as well. I love what we're talking about, because I think the application, the relevance today is it's mind-boggling.
Yes.
It's so tangible. It's so real. This is not a history lesson. The history lesson sets a foundation for a new life in Messiah today, and I'm excited.
Yeah, it is true. You know, for 1,500 plus years, we had the era of the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. And for the last almost 2,000 years, we've been in the era of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. This is such an exciting time that we live in. Mm-hmm. And we're going to jump back into Luke 16 and just put a bow on this as we go forward. Yeshua said the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is forcing his way into it. And I just want to stop there and say that we talked about the law and the prophets last week. We talked about the gospel last week, and we delved into this concept of the kingdom of God. We saw that in the Exodus event. So we encourage you to get last week's podcast if you have not listened to it so that you can get some traction for this show. I want us to focus on verse 17 really quick before we jump into our show. Yeshua went on to say, "But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail." And just to, you know, have this qualifier here, because he gave it. And it was pointed out earlier in our midrashes before the show that when you read verse 16, you can make a case, if you're prejudiced against Yeshua and you're prejudiced against his view of the Torah, to make the case that he's actually minimalizing or marginalizing the Torah. But in verse 17, he says, no, on the contrary. It would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one stroke of the letter of the law to fail. And we just want to say, hey, the arrival of the kingdom does not do away with the Torah. The Torah is simply prophesied and prepared us for this great event. And what Yeshua is saying is the great event is here. The Messiah is here. I am the Son of the living God. I am the promised seed. And by the way, I've brought you good news that the kingdom of God is here. It's in your midst. It is with you. And so, wow, I mean, we're like, this is so exciting. And so we want to state in the excitement of the kingdom of God, we in no way minimalize the Torah. Absolutely not. It is our way of life. He has come to fulfill it and clarify it and firmly establish it as part of the kingdom. It's how we live as kingdom people. And so we wanted to just kind of make that clear before we go on. So we left off with the kingdom of God. We were defining that last week. And And Yeshua said, until John, the law and the prophets were proclaimed. And since that time, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached. So in Mark chapter 1, let's look at this. We'll take a closer look at the king and his kingdom. In Mark chapter 1, it says, now, after John had been taken into custody, verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee, just like it was prophesied in Isaiah's day, came into Galilee, that's the north. He came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. I don't know about you guys. I just like that phrase, gospel of God. Gospel of God. He was preaching the gospel of God, the good news of God. And what was that? Saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. All right, guys, midrash with me. I mean, what is the impact in your hearing of these great words?
Well, I just get so excited about that. You know, it bounces off of Luke 16. For 1,500 years, it has been preached, you know, through the law and the prophets. The Messiah is coming. The king is coming. His kingdom is coming. The king is coming. The kingdom is coming over and over and over.
Yes.
It's revealed through the word. You know, in John 1:1, the word is made flesh. He's here. He's with us. And when Yeshua says the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, it's come. You've been waiting for 1,500 years. It's been preached for 1,500 years. It's here. You know, they knew, you know, by Herod's having killed all the kids in Bethlehem, you know, they knew that it was ripe. It was rich with anticipation for the Messiah to become, to be manifest at that time. And he is proclaiming it is here. It's here. It's now. They've been waiting for 1,500 years since the time of Moses. It's been preached. And he's saying, alas, it's here.
Yes.
So this is, it's exciting. It's great.
It's just amazing to see this and all the anticipation of it comes to a head. And he's saying, hey, you know, this is my time.
Uh-huh.
This is the time in which I reveal myself until John. And John now has been taken into custody. John is in a prison, in a dungeon. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua rises up and says, the time is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
The fullness of what was prophesied has come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And now the next phase is here. The kingdom of God has arrived. This is the age of the kingdom. The law and the prophets were until John, and now this marks the beginning of the next age, the age of the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Well, and I just always have to throw in my pro-Torah New Testament concepts because I look at, you know, some of the scripture, like what we talked about, Luke 16:16 last week and just a bit today, was that people will take that and go, that's the time for the law and the prophets, but now that's been done away with because now we're in this new time period. But when we look at this, it's that Torah was pointing directly toward this. And so as soon as we then see the fulfillment of it, what does our flesh want to do? Or what does our years of doctrine teach us? Oh, well, now that's done away with. And yet it's exactly what got us to this point. It's what pointed us. They're so interlinked. You know, we had to get to this point where we didn't think of Torah contradicting grace or Torah contradicting the gospel. And it's not just that they don't contradict each other. It's that they're so implicitly linked to each other.
Right.
It's how do you disregard the one that pointed you directly to the other? So it's not just, these don't contradict each other. Not only do they not contradict, they walk so hand in hand. It's that Torah that led me to understand that the kingdom of God was coming.
Yes.
I didn't even know that the kingdom of God was coming until I had a Torah that told me about God ruling and reigning over his people.
Yeah.
And now my first response when we get to that time period of that prophecy being fulfilled is to then say one of those is law and bondage and doesn't have any sort of application to me. We didn't know we were waiting for a king. We didn't know we were waiting for that redemption, but for the Torah that told us.
Yes.
And so now we get to that redemption. We say, the Torah, that's from the pit of hell. No, it's the Torah that told me that my Messiah was coming. It's the Torah that pointed, that he was the goal of that Torah the entire time. I see them as being so unable to disconnect one from the other.
I think also the Torah is preparing us for his arrival. And the Torah is revealing to us what our King expects of us.
And who he is.
And who he is and how he wants us to live.
Right, how we interact with
him. So there's aspects of the Torah that transcend the eras that we live in. And so now that the kingdom has come, is the Torah done away with? No, absolutely not. It's not done away with. In fact, it's now being established with the kingdom in the sense that Yeshua comes along and he says, now that the kingdom has arrived and you can enter into it, here are the kingdom values and virtues. And here's how you shall live as kingdom people, as subjects of the king. And then he teaches and clarifies how we're to apply the Torah to our lives, how we're to live our lives. And so, BJ, you're exactly right. It's inextricably tied together and is one.
Yeah, it's like when John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How do you separate the Word from Messiah? They are one. You cannot separate them. It's just absolutely impossible. It's the revelation of who Messiah is. If you love me, keep my commandments. God is love, and love is keeping his commandments.
Yes.
You can't separate that.
The response of love is always obedience.
Yes.
And it flows naturally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you're struggling with the law of God, it's because you need to be born again. You say, I'm already born again. Well, then get born again. Or what? However many times it takes, you know, but the evidence is you'll fall in love like King David. You'll fall in love with the law. After his transformation, after his encounter with the grace of God and the forgiveness of God for his sins, what did he cry out? Oh, how I love thy law is my meditation day and night. And right. So, yeah, it's just beautiful. It's powerful in every way. And I just want to back up a little bit and talk about this arrival of the kingdom of God. Many, many people point out, yes, well, actually, it comes in two phases. It comes in its redemptive phase, and then it comes in its glorious phase. And I agree with that. We might quibble over, does it come before the millennium, after the millennium, in the middle of the millennium, you know, all those kind of questions. Hey, you know what? Everyone agrees that there is a glorious phase of the kingdom of God on earth. And so, you know, we'll just kind of leave it at that, but let's back up and say, and there are some that say, well, you know, the kingdom itself is not established until he comes in the future back to Jerusalem to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And so the kingdom's still not here. There's a redemptive aspect of the kingdom that's here. There's this mysterious element of the kingdom of God that's kind of here, but it's not established on earth. And that's still coming. Well, that's a great question. When does it come? When does the kingdom of God come in a way that it is established? Because it says back in Isaiah, he will establish the kingdom. So when does the kingdom get established? Or more importantly, when does Yeshua become a king? He comes as the babe born in Bethlehem. He comes as the suffering servant. He comes as a high priest, so to speak. But when does he become king? It says the government shall rest on his shoulders. And Daniel says that he receives the kingdom. When? When does he become king? Isn't that true? Because whenever he becomes king is when the kingdom is established. So all we got to do is kind of figure that out, right? I mean, sounds easy to me.
Yes.
So let's jump into our next verse because it's a powerful verse. And BJ, you said this reference was found in, I think, Acts 13. Okay, we'll pick it up in 32. And read through 34. Paul is speaking post-resurrection, and he says, "And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children in that he raised up Yeshua, as it is also written in the second psalm, quote, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,'" unquote. Verse 34, "As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, quote, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David,'" unquote. When I first saw this passage in light of the kingdom of God, it rocked me. I mean, banner day. I think I was,
that was
just
a good
like,
day right
it was
there.
A good day. Not all days are good days. This was a good day. Because really what Paul is saying is that Jesus was enthroned at his resurrection. In that season of his resurrection came his exaltation. First, his humility in suffering and in death, and then his exaltation to the right hand of God. Mm-hmm. He arose from the dead and ascended on high, and he sits at the right hand, yes, of authority and power. He's been given a scepter, mm-hmm, and he is ruling and reigning. Mm-hmm. And when did this all take place?
At his resurrection.
2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Not the future, but 2,000 years ago. I mean, that whole lot of time is, you know, come since then. Mm-hmm. Whole lot of water's been under the bridge and passed, you know. And this states very, very clearly that in his resurrection, the promise was fulfilled, that the kingdom would be given. In fact, Psalm 2 is, in fact, the language of the installment of kings in that period of time. If you went back to the ancient Near East, this was the liturgy, this was the phraseology when kings installed and passed the kingdom to their heir. So when a king gave his kingdom to his son, this was part of the actual phraseology. He would declare over his son, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Today I have given birth to you." How can that be when the son's, you know, maybe in his 20s, 30s, 40s at the time, you know? How could that be? Well, the way that could be is because he's becoming for the first time in his life a king. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, it is a new beginning for the son. And so this is how kings installed their sons in their place and passed the kingdom on. They stated, "You are my son," publicly. This was a proclamation that was made in the hearing of people, of course. "You are my son. Today I've begotten you." So Paul makes this strong, strong case that this is exactly what God did. He gave his kingdom to his son, and he proclaimed him in the heavens before all of his angels, above all authorities on earth. He declares, "You are my son. Today I've begotten you." He installs him as king over his kingdom. And this fulfills not only the imagery found in Psalm 2, but also Daniel 7. And then it goes on in verse 34. "As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David,'" of David. So what does that imply?
Well, the blessings of David was that he would have, his seed would rule and reign as king for eternity.
Yes.
Forever and ever.
Yes, the Davidic promises were about kingship, mm-hmm, ruling and reigning. Mm-hmm. This is the covenant of David. Mm-hmm. All the covenants have their own emphasis and purpose. David's blessing was that his throne would be an everlasting throne, and that one of his descendants would reign on that throne forever and ever. Yep. Yeshua is the son of David, mm-hmm, and he was raised from the dead, sits at the right hand of God, and he assumes the throne of David. And all those prophecies and blessings that were David's are being fulfilled in Yeshua, son of David, forever and ever and ever. This is kingdom language. Mm-hmm. This is a kingdom event. This is the installment of Yeshua as king over heaven and earth. He is now in the seat of power in the kingdom of God. The Father has stepped aside and said, "Son, rule and reign. It's yours." Yeah, I'm just thinking, man, this is like the best inauguration ever in history.
It is. And if you just think about just the simplicity of the story, God creates the kingdom, has the keys, gives them to Adam. Adam loses the keys to, yes, Satan because of disobedience. Second son of David comes, or second Adam comes, and through his perfect life, sacrifice, and atonement, takes back the keys. Now, yes, he has the keys. So now, and God says, you take it. You rule and you reign. And of course, we know until Yeshua has made his enemies a footstool, he will then take those keys and hand them right back to Papa. It is so beautiful. Yes. The picture is just, it's such a beautiful picture of what Yeshua has done. You know, that he's come back, he's redeemed all for us and for his Father.
And he has every right to rule and reign because he submitted his soul to death. Mm-hmm. He came and he said, Father, I will take the sin of the world upon me. Mm-hmm. And the Father said, Son, I will smite you and bring judgment against the sin of the world in your embodiment. Mm-hmm. You will suffer for the sin of the world. Mm-hmm. All of the sin of the world will be laid on your shoulders, and all of my wrath will be poured out on you in that crucifixion event. And Yeshua not only submits to that, but he goes through that process and makes it. He accomplishes it. Mm-hmm. Of course, he now has every right to rule and reign. Mm-hmm. No one else but him. Mm-hmm. We declare we have no other king.
Amen.
But Yeshua the Messiah. That is our true and rightful king. So the other thing that's exciting, BJ, did you have anything you want to say before I move on?
Well, I'm certainly not an expert on the prophetic, but when I look here in Isaiah, when he says this in chapter 9 about for unto us a child is born, and when he, you know, I never know if the prophets really understand what it is that they're prophesying, you know, if they know what they needed to understand for that moment or what it is that they really understood big picture. But, you know, I look at this and I think, does Isaiah say this and think that literally there will be a kingdom that will be David's physical descendants and it will just continue? Because I'm looking at it now going, there isn't a king over Israel. And so we know that it's a prophetic picture and we know that it's not a physical king who ruled and reigned. But did Isaiah know that? Or did he just go, wow, this is just going to be such a powerful kingdom and that every descendant of David or, you know, descendants of David will continue to rule and reign? So I don't know if they even understood this.
I don't think they understood it. No, I don't. I'm with you. Many times they did not understand the full import of the messages given to them. But I think it becomes so obvious.
But it's so helpful for me in hindsight to look at it and go, there's no kingdom. This had to be a picture of Messiah. This wasn't just the lineage of this, the generation after generation, your kid and then your kid's kid, but that it had that Messiah would have to come through the kingdom of David. But here you look at it in hindsight and just go, oh my gosh, how do we not see Jesus all over this? Mm-hmm. Of, you know, did Isaiah know that? I don't know. But at the same time, to me, it's so blatantly obvious. And then when you sit there and go, I don't know exactly, I didn't know until today that it was established at his resurrection. That was really helpful to me when you were explaining that from the scriptures from Acts. But certainly it's this child who is born, that this child, this man, that he describes him as born into this world. To me, it says it had to have been within that time period. It can't be this future date that I'm waiting for the kingdom of heaven to come. And I don't know if I have always understood that because I didn't necessarily understand the kingdom of God and what the timing was of that. But here I look at the scripture and go, this was in that time period. It was not, and then thousands of years after this birth of this child. This was his lifetime, that within his lifetime or right there at his resurrection, that's when we see this establishment.
Yes, and that's revolutionary when you think about it, because you're right. I think it's so obvious that, you know what, the kingdom of God has always transcended this world. Always. It invades this world is what it does. Mm-hmm. What we have with the arrival of Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, we have heaven invading earth. Mm-hmm. Jesus comes to earth and invades the world under the power of Satan. Satan is the ruler of this world, the God of this world. He invades his domain, which originally was God's domain, given up by Adam, as you pointed out.
Right.
He invades it, and he says, I'm taking it back.
Right.
And I'm going to take it back by force. Mm-hmm. And he establishes a beachhead in the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom of God has come now to the earth. Mm-hmm. And in his resurrection, it is established and is now being upheld. And it will be upheld forevermore until he comes again.
Yep.
But think about this. It's already here.
Yes.
And it's growing. as Isaiah said, it's increasing.
Yep.
It's increasing, will continue to increase, and there's no physical kings. Plus, there was no Israel for almost 2,000 years, no Jerusalem. I mean, think about this. Your only conclusion would be, huh, I wonder if Yeshua, being the son of David, and the prophecies concerning ruling and reigning are all about a greater rule and reign than we've ever imagined. The very reign of God coming to the earth. Mm-hmm. And it came, was established, and it will continue to grow. And at some point, the king will come again, and he will have a physical, literal presence among us on this earth. Until then, he's here in a spiritual presence. He's all around us. And heaven as represented in the kingdom of God, is all around us. And it manifests just like it did in the days of Egypt. The difference is it's permanently here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now it's here. It's all around us. And so I think, and what I want to do, I'm going to close with this passage, and we'll pick it up next week. This is out of Daniel, and this deals with Daniel's great prophecies concerning the four beasts, four world empires. And then he even gives us the names of the first two. He gives us a reference to Babylon, a reference to, I think it is, the Medes and the Persians, and then also Greece. The final one is mentioned by name, but everyone knows it's speaking of Rome. Rome was the fourth mighty kingdom, and it's in the days of Rome that the king Messiah comes, and it's the coming of the king and his kingdom that ultimately destroys the fourth final great empire, which, by the way, is trying to annihilate the Jews and Israel, and this is none other than the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And so he had to come in the days of Rome, and he did. But listen to this. Verse 13, Daniel chapter 7. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven. I'm sorry, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. This is the presentation of the kingdom of God to the rightful heir.
Messiah.
That's right. And so he's given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. Sounds like a global dominion. God's a great king. And he's the ultimate king. He will take all dominion everywhere. He's the ultimate king. He will have dominion everywhere in the universe. All creation shall come under his rule and reign. Let me go on. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Now, Yeshua is that king. He was installed as king. He brought the kingdom, and the kingdom is all around us. We can enter the kingdom today. Who can deny that the kingdom's not here? When you can enter the kingdom today, you can enter the kingdom on earth. You don't have to die in order to go and enter the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You can enter the kingdom now on earth. Mm-hmm. Through faith in Yeshua, you can become part of this great and glorious kingdom, this heaven experience on earth. Now, let me go on. This gets even more exciting. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. I approached one of those who were standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretations of these things. Verse 17, these great beasts, which are four in number, and four kings who will arise from the earth, but the saints, here it is, but the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, for all ages to come. The Son of Man receives the kingdom, and then the Son of Man turns around and he gives it to his people. Mm-hmm. And in this context, the saints of the Most High are those descendants of Jacob, Jews, who believe in him. Mm-hmm. they receive the kingdom of God. And the Gentiles who are grafted in through faith in Jesus are grafted into these Messianic Jews and become recipients with them, co-heirs with them, yep, of the kingdom, yep, of God on earth. And the kingdom is ours.
Right.
We're not only subjects of the king, we are recipients of his kingdom.
Joint heirs.
And it's with us forever and ever, because it's never going to end.
Right.
It goes on and on and on. So we get to live the lives. We get to live the lives of, like, Lord of the Rings, you know, this, this great melodrama between good and evil, you know, light and darkness, you know, and right and wrong. You know, we're living that. And the conflict of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, the conflict of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness is raging now on the earth. The good news is the kingdom of God is advancing and the kingdom of Satan is retreating. Mm-hmm. And it will continue until all the enemies of Messiah are made his footstool. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. It doesn't get any better. I mean, if you're not if you're not tracking with Yeshua and submitted to him as your king, you're just missing out on a whole lot of adventure,
right,
and blessing.
Right.
And we want to encourage you to jump into the kingdom of God. People are forcing their way into it. It's so exciting. It's such a blessing. I think what we'll do next week is we'll pick this up and we'll talk about the kingdom of God is manifest on the earth today and how we can see that, even though it's mysterious and spiritual, it is a powerful, powerful, you can see the kingdom in powerful ways, such as exorcisms, healings, salvations, signs and wonders. They're going on all around us. Heaven is here. Heaven is here, and it's making its march throughout the earth, and it's reclaiming all that Adam lost through the second Adam, Yeshua the Messiah. All right, guys, that concludes our program for this week. And again, a special thanks to our great King, Yeshua the Messiah, our producer and co-host, Pastor Russ, and Torah teacher BJ, our listeners and supporters for making this podcast possible through your prayers and financial giving. Be sure to go to our website, www.graftedin.com, for more podcasts and more information. I'm your host, Torah Teacher Mark, and until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. Shalom.
Torah Talk has been brought to you by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation located in the North Hills Church of God facility at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado. Your host has been Pastor Mark McClellan. Join us for Sabbath services at 1 p.m. next Saturday afternoon. For more information, please call us at 303-761-9948 or visit our website at www.graftedin.com. God bless you and shalom.